Thank you. Certainly good to be with y'all. We've been looking forward to this for quite a while now. I want to thank you for your hospitality. Started out last night. We had all the Mexican food you could eat last night. The Ledbetters. It was great. And so we're looking forward to getting to know the rest of you for the rest of this week. I'd just like to mention that, yes, we do have some relatives here. My brother-in-law is here, and his wife and her parents, and we're glad that they're able to be here. And our relationship with the Gogans and with the Ledbetters goes back a long way. Pat and I began, I guess we got to know each other more when we started playing softball against each other. I understand he... And when we talk about anything, and we have a tendency as people of God sometimes, although we talk about ourselves as being the people of God, sometimes we talk about other things rather than the nature of God Himself. You know, we end up, you know, talking about Adam, we talk about Abraham, we talk about David, we talk about Paul and Peter, and those are all great men of faith. But the real hero of the Bible is not Paul, it's not Peter, it's not David, it's God. He's the one that's made everything possible. And so we go back then to the very beginning. And in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, that whole concept affects everything that we do. And there are some implications that come from that. Number one, what God said after He created everything and set things in order, He said that it was good. That tells us, the first thing is, that matter is good. Everything that we know as far as matter, that's good because God created it. Because God saw everything that He had made and He said, behold, it was good. In fact, after He created man, He said it was very good. And every creature, in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 4, we are told that every creature is good. Every creature of God. And He did. He created all that. That runs contrary to some philosophies and some of the way people think in the world. Because matter itself, then, is not evil, as some people have us to believe. Matter is good because it comes from God and God created that. A second thing is that matter also is not absolute and it is not ultimate. In other words, God created or formed whatever else. Everything was waste and void in the very beginning. And God spoke things into existence. And that also tells us that matter is also dependable. In other words, God created matter in such a way that it is going to operate and it is going to behave in certain kinds of patterns. And if you go back and you look at how matter operates and what it's composed of and how it can overcome, ultimately, of course, in the life to come. So our created existence is good. Man is creatures, and it doesn't make any difference whether or not we give our consent to that. And He had that right and that dominion over us before we chose to give our lives to Him through Jesus Christ. And that changes things. Now, some people have a tendency to think that everything begins or everything changed then when I became a child of God. And then I chose to give my life and my heart to the Lord. And I chose for Him then to rule over my life. That's not so. God rules over all of us prior to that because of creation. He has the right to do that. He has the right to tell us what to do. He has the right to establish norms of conduct for us. And if you sit back and think about it in terms of who has the right to do that, or who even has the ability to formulate, you know, moral standards like that, or who even has enough knowledge to do that, I don't know of anybody in human society that has that kind of knowledge, that kind of right. God in the universe and us, that everything is always before God, and He knows and He sees. And the magnificent thing to me about God is, and what He's done is, despite the fact that He sees my mistakes, and despite the fact He sees what I'm going to do, and the choices that I make, He still loved me enough to send His Son. And He still cares. And He will forgive me of my sins. And He won't hold that against me any longer. This transcendent, magnificent Creator God, He's done that. And to me, that's a marvelous thing. And so, who God is becomes the undergirding for everything else that we do. Isaiah, in Isaiah 33 and verse 22, said, Jehovah is our judge and our lawgiver. He is our king. He will save us. And then again, James says this in James chapter 4 and verse 12. He says, one only is lawgiver and judge, even he who is able to save and destroy. God is the judge. And he is also the lawgiver, which makes him the ultimate source of authority in every walk and every aspect of life. If you turn over to Romans chapter 2, His laws are given to us by virtue of the fact that He is God. He has discovered, and when you begin to investigate it, that they have similar standards of morality that we do. You know, that it's wrong to steal. Now, their judgment and how they deal with that may be different. They may cut a person's hand off, you know, if they caught stealing. But they have that law. They have a law about life. And the sanctity of life is that you don't take another person's life. Now, where did that come from? How did all that occur? And how did all that get rooted? In Genesis chapter 2, verses 23-25. Now, after woman was created, He said, and the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she is taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Okay? This is what God said to Adam and Eve. Now, I think it's kind of interesting is that neither Adam nor Eve had a mother or a father. And guess what? He's saying to him, said, leave and cleave. This was not only written for them to understand and to pass on to their children. It's written for us, you know, as well. But what is it rooted and grounded in? Creation, is it not? This is what God did at the very beginning. This is what God said. In Genesis chapter 12. From what God said in Genesis chapter 2, we understood that marriage was one man, one woman for life. There is no hint that it is any other way. It's one man, one woman for life. In Genesis chapter 12, what we have is we have the story of Abraham going down into Egypt. When he gets there, he doesn't start because I choose to become a child of God. God's plan and God's idea about that started a long time ago. But there are a lot of people that don't think that's so. They think that what God said about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and about family begins at the cross and my willingness to submit myself to the Lord. The reason why all of this is important about creation is because it goes back to God. He is the one that has decided. Not me. Not the elders here. Not the preacher. Not anybody else. God is the one that has decided.